my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
And my, yes,
my God is real.
My God is real. He's so real in my soul.
He's real in my soul. And my God is real. Oh, well, I hope you're singing along with this. Wash and make me whole. His love, yes, his love for me is light. Oh, yes, his light. Here go. And my God is real. Oh, I can feel him in my soul. Amen, amen, amen. And good morning to everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Brother Jamarsh, for those wonderful songs this morning. Brother Philip for reading our scripture and giving us our prayer. Brother Terry Bradley for giving us our opening prayer. Good to be here. Yes, good to be here. Good to be in the city of Houston, Texas. It's cooling off a little bit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They tell me we got a cold front coming in this week. Supposed to get down to 50. Some of you up north, you laughing at that. But we thank God for the cool weather. Those of you that's joining us by way of Facebook Live, a live stream, conference call, YouTube Live, we're trying to make it available. We're trying to make our worship service available to as many individuals as we can. They tell me now on Sunday mornings, we have anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 individuals that's participating in our worship service. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have some announcements we're going to make at the end of our worship service, and I want you to stay tuned to those announcements, but we just want to say welcome to everyone. Hopefully you are in a good place that you can worship God this morning. We know that it has been a challenge for many of us. We want to come together, but our elders are being very cautious, being very diligent as they observe and everything. I know we got news this week that some of the churches are opening up and up to 25%, and we have not opened up to come back together yet. But I think it's for a good reason. I 100% support our leadership. You see now, if you looked at the news early this morning, I turned the television on. The numbers are up in 42 states. And we still don't have a cure, and we do not want any of our members. We have a lot of individuals here at our congregation who are in that mode that they have pre-existing illnesses and some weaknesses, and so we're being cautious, we're being observant, and hopefully you will know when the numbers come down and we feel like it's safer to come together, we will come back together. The Lord says the same. So please support your leadership. I do support our elders and decisions that they're making, and we're going to make it. We are going. God has already seen us through this far, and he's not going to let us be without help. And so we thank God for that. I don't know if this is a series. I think it's going to be. I was doing some reading early this week. Did you not know that there are 3,247 characters mentioned by name in the Bible, according to one of the translations? It may vary just a little bit. 1,443. Not unique names, but names that are repeated, like the name John, for at least five times mentioned. Different Johns is referenced to. I didn't know the name Mary, multiple Marys, and then there are other characters who are not mentioned by name. You know, you have the Samaritan woman, not mentioned by name. You have the rich man in the book of Luke, who is not mentioned by name. And so there are so many characters. And then there are some characters' names that we are not as familiar with, but they're in the Bible for a reason. The Old Testament written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so I've entitled this lesson, maybe even this series, Real Lessons from Real People in the Bible. Real Lessons from Real People in the Bible. This is good for our young people. That, you know, they identify with names. Well, we all identify with names. And so I selected two obscure names to start off with. Two obscure names. And you'll see that in just a moment. But we're beginning in the Old Testament. The names of Bezalel and Oholiab. Bezalel. You can't hardly say that, can you? And Oholiab. Those are the two names. So you can make note of that if you want to. Some of you Bible school teachers can review your students maybe after worship service today. The book of Exodus chapter 35. You stay with me. Now you got your coffee. You sitting up. You wake. Okay, wipe your eyes. Let's worship the Lord. We have about 15, 20 in here. This morning, 15:20, so you got to help me, amen, online, okay? All right. Exodus 35:4. Moses, well, let's see, a little background. Moses, he gets these very specific instructions from the Lord and all on how he wants the people to build him a tabernacle. Tabernacle means tent of dwelling, tent, temporary. Tabernacle is a tent. Now, we've done a study on the temple, the permanent temple that he had built in Jerusalem by Solomon. But this is the tabernacle. The children of Israel are coming out of bondage. They're traveling to the promised land. And he comes to a point, he commands Moses in Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel. Oh, there's so many lessons, Lord, so many lessons. He spoke to all the congregation. God has always had a congregation, and I'm so glad that you are connected to this local congregation. It's the assembly of God's people together, the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, And he gives them, I don't have time to read all of the details of the construction of the tabernacle, but some artists have drawn, illustrated some wonderful examples of what I believe the tabernacle. But what I believe the tabernacle, get thee behind us, Satan, whatever that noise is. The tabernacle would look like, and I think I have a few pictures. Can you pull up some of the pictures that we illustrations? That's one that we look and look at it closely. Now this is not identical, but you'll see from the instructions that it is pretty close. It has an outer gate, has inner things that's going on in the inside, and then there is an inner dwelling also inside of those walls. There's another illustration. There's another one. The children of Israel, most scholars believe that there had to be close to 3 million people in coming from Egyptian bondage out, and they stopped. Every time they stopped, they had to plant this tabernacle in which the Ark of the Covenant was held, in where the presence of God actually resided. I think I have one other picture. So you see the construction, very detailed, but God had some instructions for his people to build this tabernacle. Now go to Exodus chapter 35, verse 20. Exodus 35, 20. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Moses gives this sermon, this dissertation, and he tells them what God has commanded him to tell them. And then they leave Moses' presence. And then in verse 21, it says, everyone whose heart, oh, there's that word again. Man, we talked about that last couple of three Sundays, whose heart, underlined heart, stirred him, and everyone whose spirit, underlined spirit, moved him, came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting would be the tabernacle, and for all its service, and for the holy garment. So you had the tabernacle that was to be built, and then you had the service that was to take place within the tabernacle, and then you had the priests who wore the holy garments, and God gave specific instruction on how he wanted this to be done. The people understood it, and when they left Moses, many of them were highly motivated to how we're going to make this happen. The scripture says, whose heart stirred him. Everyone whose heart stirred him. Oh, man, so much happens in the heart. And now, while this is exciting when I read this, it still tells us that everybody's heart wasn't stirred. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, some people hear instruction. Some people hear the sermon. Some people are moved. Some people are ready to go. Some people are not moved at all. Some people have other things on them. Some people, did you not know some people come to worship service not to worship God? Jamal, you did sing, "We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and to do what? And to worship him." That's why we came. That's why you got up this morning with God on your mind, and I hope your heart, well, not this heart, I hope that heart is pumping, but I hope your mind is stirred to worship God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, I couldn't sleep. For some reason, last night, I got up and took a shower, took a bath, and I was just reading this morning, and I was anticipating being even in the presence of the Lord with the saints. Yeah, I thought about that. It said their heart was stirred. Then it says, and whose spirit moved him. Yeah, if your heart not stirred, you're not into what you're doing. If your spirit not moved, you're not too excited about what you're doing. And some people, and individuals, they heard this, their spirit moved. Then verse 22 says, then all whose hearts moved them, says it again, both men and women came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets and all articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. This is the Old Testament. Now, we're not in the New Testament. But God commanded the children of Israel to give for a reason. It's not just for God. God already got everything. You know, did we not know everything that we have is already God's? It's already God's. But God, you know what God is doing? He's checking our what? He's checking our hearts. He's checking our hearts to see, do you remember who gave you all of this stuff? You know what? If you're not willing to give God a little bit, God's not asking for everything. He didn't ask for anything. I want you to give everything you got. It's all mine anyway. I want to see how much you love me. Give me it all to me. Some folks say, it's God. Mm. And he just made the request. And you know, in this particular instance, although under the old law, we know the children of Israel were commanded to give a tithe, a tenth. In this particular instance, for the tabernacle, he simply wanted those whose hearts were stirred. And boy, I'm telling you, they gave. Oh, they gave. They gave to the Lord. My goodness. And were happy to give. And then go to verse 29. The Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded them through Moses to be done, they brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Free will, it wasn't commanded as far as made them to do it. They brought of their hearts. And I thought about that. I said, now, we are under the new covenant. We know 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let a man give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, God loves it when we give from the heart of what what's freely on our mind to give the Lord. And this was a free will offering for the tabernacle. And I wonder how much you think people gave. How much money did they give? It says now some of them gave brooches, earrings, and we know silver and gold was part of the material to be used for the tabernacle. They gave rings. What you got at home? What you got in that jewelry box? Open your jewelry box up for a second. Open your shoe box up. Open your shoe closet up for a second. If God asks for a free will offering, and he says, I want the children. I'm not saying God is asking us for this right now. But let's just say God asks for free will. Go open your closet up. Open your drawers up. Open your wallet up. What would you give? What would you give from the heart to God? Oh, Brooke, why you ask? Just a question. Just a question. Yeah. Would you get that ring that's in your box, that one that's, what they call it when a gold ring turn green, what they call it? Yeah, would you pull that one out because you know you're not wearing that no more? Is that the one you get out? I don't know. I just thought about that. That's me thinking out loud. You know what Isaiah prophesied about the Israelites, and Matthew, he records the prophecy. He says this in Matthew 13:15. For the heart of this people has become dull. It seemed like he's saying, at one time, the people, I bet you when God got those children of Israel out of bondage, when they were running from Pharaoh and God split that Red Sea, I bet their hearts were stirred there. when God had a pillar of cloud by day to block out the sun, and he had a pillar of fire by night to give them light and heat, I bet their hearts were stirred. You know what they call? You got any Dallas Cowboy fans? you got a Dallas Cowboy? Yeah, absolutely. One here right now. He about to shout. He can't hardly hold himself. We got some Houston Texan fans out there. Oh, you don't want to say nothing now, huh? Yeah. And we won a game yet? We won one game. Okay. I you know who the true fans are? See, the true fans are. When you stick with a team through what? We got some in here. Yeah, they call them fair weather fans. Fair weather fans. Are we a fair weather servant of God? Yeah. When you got, you know, when your bills paid, when you don't have no arthritis in your hands, when your body's feeling good, 100% good, you praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Are we fair weather? He said, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They're not listening to God anymore. When they once listened, it says, and they've closed their eyes. At one time, they when God's presence was there, they would listen to everything. God had to say, open their eyes and see everything. Otherwise, he says, see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Yeah, man, that's why the scripture says, guard your heart. Boy, the devil is after our heart. The devil wants our allegiance to everything. You know what? I'm telling you. This technology is good. These iPads and iPhones, they tell me they're coming out with the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max. You got one yet? You ordered it yet? That's all right. I mean, technology. I'm getting one because I want the speed. I want the speed. I want the clarity. I want to take good pictures. I'm getting one. I'm telling you, I'm getting one. Don't let that stuff take your heart away from God, though. Oh, it's in a battle. All these little kids, they walking around, they got iPads all the time. And oh, my goodness, be careful. I mean, use the iPad. Put something in there that's going to be good for the heart, for the mind. Parents, watch them. Watch what they listen to. And you watch what you listen to and what you are watching. Because the devil is after our, he says, and understand with their heart. Notice what he said. And return. Isaiah prophesied about the Israelites. They once loved me. They once listened to me. They once heard me, were glad to hear me. He says, and if they return, I will heal them. You think the United States, is that what we need right now? You think America needs? You think the world needs? The heart, the heart, the heart. Woo, man, I haven't even gotten to my character yet. go to Exodus chapter 35 and verse 30. Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. We started at verse 20, now we're in verse 30. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, and he said, see, the Lord is called by name, Bezalel. Say that name, Bezalel. Bezalel, Bezalel. You probably didn't know that name was in the Bible. I'm telling you, when I started studying all these names, I probably read it. Of course, Brother Ray has, we're reading through the Bible, 365 days through the Bible, but this name, it swept right over me. The son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And then it says, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanships, to make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze, and in cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, so as to perform every inventive work. He's also put, notice this, in his heart to teach both he and Oholiab. And so we have these two characters who, yes, God has given. It says he put into him the Spirit of God. Now that doesn't mean, and I hope we're not waiting on God, on the Lord to make us want to worship him. But he gives all of us, even today in the New Testament, he gives all of us gifts. Amen. You want some scripture for that? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Notice this. Of talking about the church. Now, there are varieties of gifts. In the church, thank the Lord, we got Brother William Hamilton can sing. Amen. We don't want Brother Camooch to get up there leading singing. Brother Camooch say, can you sing? Brother Camooch say, bro, what you? He looked at me like, what? And say, okay, go get up there and sing. That's all right, bro. That's all right. But he gives a right. But notice this. But the same Spirit. Yeah. He gives us all different gifts. But we are one in spirit, in that the Spirit comes from God. So we, let me read it. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things. And so if you got any kind of gift, whatever the gift is, you don't need to brag too much on the gift, because the gift came from who? Thank you. Thank you. If you're athletic, if you are, can run fast, guess what? It came from God. Amen, God. So, you know, see all this boasting about I'm this and I'm that. Yeah, you have to develop what God has given us. We have to work on what God has given us. But some things you can work all you want to. If you're not fast and can't run fast, you might well stay off that track, sister, brother, mama, daddy, trying to make your kid be something they not. Woo! Then he goes on to say, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's New Testament teaching. In the church, there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of ministries, but they're all for the common purpose, that is to upbuild his kingdom. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. All the glory. God gets all the glory. So we go back to the Old Testament. And he puts this special gift into Bezalel. Thank the Lord for Bezalel. who, you see some individuals, you don't need us being jealous, but some individuals got some shown up gifts. The question is, what we're using those gifts for? Yeah, we can use it for the man, for the company, or for our own pocketbook. I love this. He says, go back to Exodus chapter 35 and verse 35. I got to watch. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver, of a designer, of an embroiderer, in blue and in purple and scarlet material, in fine linen, of a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of. We serve a detail God. Now, if God gave them the gift and gave them specific instructions on how he wanted things carried out, guess who the master designer is? It's God. You see all the 12 wonders of the world. You see all the architect, the mountains, the valleys, the hills, the blue skies, the blue flowers, all of this. Guess who the master designer is? You said, Barbara, Bezalel, boy, he had it going on. Guess who got it going on better than him? Yeah, God had in his mind exactly how he wanted his tabernacle. Before he gave it to Bezalel and Oholiab. I'm just in awe as I study these characters. I'm impressed with some of their talent, but I hope it impresses you more that we serve a God who's able to do all of this. Chapter 36, verse 1. Listen to this. Now Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform. See, it wasn't just those two. He gave Bezalel to teach Oholiab to carry out these instructions. And then there are others who worked along with them. Every skilled person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work of the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And so not only were they involved, man, God had the whole congregation involved. He had all the people. Well, how were they involved? Well, he instructed them to give the contribution. Yeah. He instructed them to give the contribution. Some of them actually made things to give. That some of the late, let me read in Exodus 36, verse 4. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. Now, so the work has begun. And look what happens. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord commanded us to perform. Oh, that's a good problem. That the people, God, Moses gives instructions. This is what the Lord wants, and the people got 100% behind what the Lord wanted, and they started giving. I'm talking about they were giving everything. Oh, isn't that a good problem? You know what's beautiful about what's happening during this pandemic? What's beautiful about what's happening during these last 7 months? You know what's awesome? You know what we need to be praising the Lord for? I know our elders are praising the Lord. Do you not know that our offering, our weekly, monthly offering has not gone down? If my daddy was living, he'd say, somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know what? It's gone up. Praise the Lord. God is at work. And now, some of you don't know this. So I'll tell you. You remember a couple of years ago we presented our expansion plan for the church. Some of you just members here, you remember that? Our expansion, not just for physical, but just for several things. Well, we had phase one and phase two. Well, guess what? Phase one, if you haven't been in a while, we have finished. Sisters, we have restrooms on both sides of the building. Praise God. I mean, not just the nursery. Restrooms, the lobby is a little bigger. Some of you that were able to come to the funeral, you say, oh, we got some restrooms over here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, And that only happened because of you. Yeah. Guess no bill. Sir, how will you be paying for this car that you are trying to get today? It'll be cash. No debt. Oh, that ought to shake you up. It ought to stir your heart. And the people were so stirred and said, oh, man, we can fix to have a tabernacle. The presence of the Lord going to be there. This is how he want it. Okay, what you need me to do? And it says this. It says, the people were bringing much more than enough. It says, so Moses, this is what Moses had to do. And I, when you get time to read all of this, to see specifically what they were bringing. They brought gold. They brought silver. Ladies were sewing the colors of purple and scarlet. They were sewing material, bringing the material to the men. This is what Moses had to do in verse 6. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contribution. He said, look, we got everything we need. Stop giving. No. Our elders are not fixing to say it. They're not finna say stop giving. I promise you that. We got some things to do with the money. But they had to say stop giving. Man. Boy, that was a good day. That was a good time. What also is that saying? That's saying, even in the Lord's church in the New Testament, there is something for literally every member of the body to do in the Lord's church. I hope, and one of our charges as ministers, as elders, as teachers, one of our charges is to equip the saints for works of service. 1 Peter chapter 4. Yeah, that's one of our charges is to give members the tools and abilities. Notice this: is you equip members to work. Yeah. Being creative and thinking of ways that we can equip with the spiritual tools that they can use their gifts to work in the Lord's kingdom. And that increases our faith, and it increases our relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which, notice, seem to be weaker, are necessary. Notice, the scripture says, see, there are some acts and some works in the church that some, you may say, well, that's not really, it seems to be, but it is vital for the church. Can I say something? This is very personal. My dad passed away. I feel bad in this sense. And my mother, the same way, my brothers, my sister, we're trying to figure out how to thank everybody. See, my mother's old school. She old school, you know, when she get a gift, she gonna write a thank you to everybody and thank you note. And she said, baby, can you announce it? Can you put, she has a hand. She can't write. Her hands are arthritis. I said, Mama, you can't write thank you to everybody. She got cards and flowers and money and food. We haven't had to cook. My mother haven't had to cook in a month. I'm not probably longer than that. People have been bringing food, and you know I'm over there at Mama's house quite a bit. And you see, I'm putting my little pounds back. I gotta break away. And I say, it's they are coming from all members. If they're whoever, not just for my daddy. And I know many of you. I know you do this. You take the bulletin. When people die, when people are sick, men, that is your ministry. How vital. Please don't stop. Don't let nobody discourage you from sending a card. You don't have to have any money in the card. You can put money in the card. But it's your gift, your ministry. every member, every person, every woman, every boy, children. Teach them how to use their gifts for the Lord and for the kingdom. Oh, because they are vital to the kingdom. It says, it seems weaker, but it's necessary. Yeah, it's necessary. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Let me finish. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I need to close. Go to Exodus 39, verse 32. It's a beautiful thing when we obey God's commands. Beautiful things happen when we obey God's command. And I'm just going to give you the summary of what happened, because Moses commanded. Two individuals allow God to use them to train others to do the same, to motivate other members. Thus, all the work of the tabernacle, verse 32, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed. And the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. They brought the tabernacle to Moses. It's completed now. Oh, completed, completed, completed. The tent and all its furnishings. And this is why you need to read this, because to see how detailed God is. Its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, and the covering of ram skin dyed red, and the covering of porpoise skins, and the screening veil, the ark of the testimony, its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, the bread of presence, the pure gold lampstand, and its arrangement of lamps, and all its utensils, chintzels, and the oil of light, and the gold altar, and anointing oil, and the fragrance incense, and the veil of the doorway of the tent, the bronze altar, and its bronze grating, its poles, and all its utensils, the laver, and its stand, the hangings of for the court, its pillars, its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords, its pegs, and all the equipment for the services of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priests, and the garments of his son to minister as priests. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. Completed. When we complete God's task, we will be blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, man. I'm going to remember these names now. Bezalel and Hoholiah and all the unnamed individuals who contributed to this great work. And we know God be our witness. Just two characters that we felt like we need to get to know, that God wants us to know in his word. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. Oh, you need to be. You need to be a part of his kingdom here on earth. You can be a part of his kingdom through faith. And these passages, these characters are written in the word of God to give us faith. Faith and belief in a God who does not lie, who makes good on his promises. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, to confess the sweetest name you could ever confess, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16, then you too can be added to his kingdom, to his family, to the church, to his assembly. And we live faithful unto death, he'll give us a crown of life. If you'd like to be added today, please come today. Acknowledge, you can call us, you can email us, you can text us, and we will minister to your needs. If you have a prayer request, you can type it in on the Facebook page. We one of the elders will pray at the end of our service for all the requests that have been made. And so if you need to do either one of those, you can come right now as we sing our song of invitation. May God bless you and keep you.
Sorry. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian. wisdom in my heart. In my heart, in my, oh, in my heart, in, oh, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
We come to another part of our worship service, which is communion. Now concerning the bread, we find in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible reads, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight." Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, the Bible reads, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us give thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in our most humblest way, giving you all of the glory and all of the honor. We thank you for this bread that represents your Son's body, who died on the cross for our sins. We pray that we will take of this bread in a manner that is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may now take the bread. Now concerning the fruit of the vine. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. The Bible reads, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come." Let us give thanks for the cup. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup, which represents Jesus' blood that was shed for our sins. We pray that we will take up this cup in a manner that is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may now take the cup. This is another part of our worship service, which is the offering. We find an example of the churches of Christ given in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You can give online, by mail, or drop your offering off to the church building. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for the income that you have blessed us with. We pray that we will give with an open heart and not grudgingly. We pray that monies that will be given will be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Dear Father, we ask that you continue to bless us and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We want to be very appreciative to Brother Gary and his sermon. We trust, hope, and pray that you got your part out of it. It was very enlightening, and I'm sure he has a lot of other things he